Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody hear me okay? Awesome, perfect. All right, just for the record, it is, well, it's about 7:08, and we have a quorum. So that's very exciting. Yep, let's keep it this way. We have 10 articles on the warrant this evening, but before we get to them, of course, I'm going to go through my little spiel here. Good evening. Welcome to Easton Special Town Meeting. I'm your town moderator, Kate Welch. Up here on stage with me tonight, we have a packed house up here on stage. We have town clerk, Danielle Sicard, and we have two town council this evening. We have Kate Fedoroff and Liz Lydon up here with us. Down in front of me is our select board, members of our select board. You will all notice probably that the chair of the select board, Dottie Fulginetti, is not here this evening. That's because she is homesick. So we all wish her a speedy recovery, but she's not here this evening. Also down here in front of me, to my left, most of your right, is the finance committee. Also within the first few rows, we have department heads and people from various committees here. So again, if you're a registered voter, please make sure that you checked in at the entrance, I'm assuming everybody did, to the auditorium, and that you received your little orange card, because the orange card becomes extremely important. As we all know, when it comes time to vote, I need to see these orange cards in order for to count a decent vote, a good vote for everybody. If you're not a registered voter, we still invite you to stay. There's an area down here to my right at the bottom part of the auditorium where non-registered voters can sit. Regarding the meeting itself, I just want to go over some rules. Everybody should be aware by now that our town meeting is run by town meeting time, which is virtually similar to Robert's Rules of Order. There's a glossary of terms should be in the back of your warrant. The meeting is recorded by ECAT, as everybody should be aware as well, so people can view it at home and it can be viewed in the future. It's extremely important that we all understand this, and we all understand that because it is recorded, it's really important when you approach the microphone, if you want to speak, that you tell us your name and your address. Nice and slow and clearly, so that Danielle can get that information down, because again, it's very important. Okay. Again, if you'd like to speak after each article has been presented, I invite you to do so. I'll give you the opportunity to speak. But before you get to the microphone, just make sure that you gather your thoughts, because you'll be allowed to speak one time on any given article, just one time. And so anything that you want to say, make sure that you gather your thoughts and say it all in that one time. All the speakers will be treated with courtesy by the moderator and everybody else in the room. No speaker will be allowed to use the meeting for personal attacks on any individual, and all remarks will be directed towards the moderator. Again, the voting is done by a show of cards, the orange cards. I will recognize motions to move the question, but if in my opinion there are still some people waiting to speak who may add to the discussion, I can exercise my authority not to accept the motion at that time. Okay. The clerk has confirmed that a return to the warrant is in order and we have a quorum. So if everybody could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. So today is Monday, November 13th, 2023, and it is now 7:12. The special town meeting for the town of Easton is now called to order. Article number one.
I move that the town vote to appropriate by transfer from free cash the sum of $830,814 to be placed into the stabilization fund.
Second.
By way of explanation, this article moves 25% of available free cash to the stabilization fund in accordance with the town's financial management guidelines and the ongoing goal to build up reserves. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends.
Any comments, questions, or concerns relative to Article Number 1? Okay, seeing none, Article Number 1 requires a simple majority vote. All of those in favor of Article Number 1 passing, please raise your orange card. And all of those opposed, please raise your orange card. And Article 1 passes by majority. Article 2.
I move to dismiss Article 2.
Second.
By way of explanation, this article allows for the payment of prior year bills discovered after the close of the fiscal year, should any arise. If no bills arise, this article will be dismissed.
So even though this article is being dismissed, we still need to take a vote. It's a simple majority vote. All those in favor of dismissing Article 2, please raise those orange cards. And all of those opposed to dismissing it, please raise those orange cards. And Article 2 is dismissed by simple majority. Article 3.
Good evening. I move that the town vote to raise and appropriate the sum of $17,092 to amend fiscal year 2024 departmental budgets as printed in the warrant. I need a second.
Second.
Thank you. This article will amend the fiscal year 2024 operating budget as needed before setting the tax rate. The accounting department requires additional funding for a clerical wage adjustment. Inspectional services requires supplemental funding for the alternate plumbing and gas inspector and a clerical wage adjustment. The Bristol County Agricultural High School assessment was higher than estimated, and Public Works requires additional funding for utility costs related to Moreau Hall and Center School, which have reverted to town custody for the school department. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee? Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article Number 3? Okay, seeing none, Article 3 requires a simple majority vote. All those in favor of Article 3, please raise your orange card. And all of those opposed, please raise your orange card. And Article 3 passes by majority. Article 4.
I move that the town vote to appropriate the sum of $1,300,235 to supplement the capital budget needs of the town for fiscal year 2024 as printed in the warrant under Article 4, and that to meet this appropriation, $17,198 shall be raised from taxation, $564,211 shall be transferred from free cash, $126,676 shall be transferred from available FEMA funds, $29,835 shall be transferred from surplus funds voted pursuant to Article 7 of the May 15, 2023 annual town meeting. $4,967 shall be transferred from surplus funds voted pursuant to Article 7 of the November 8, 2021 special town meeting. $7,348 shall be transferred from surplus funds voted pursuant to Article 8 of the May 16th, 2022 annual town meeting, and that the treasurer, with the approval of the select board, is authorized to borrow $550,000 for a financial accounting software replacement under Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 44, or any other enabling authority, and to authorize the select board to do or to take all actions necessary to carry out these projects on behalf of or in the name of the town.
Second.
This article addresses additional capital needs for fiscal 2024 that were not funded at the annual town meeting in May. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends.
Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 4? Sir, go ahead.
Ryan Cook, 18 Brentwood Drive. Addresses additional capital needs that were not funded at the annual town meeting. So the three cruisers at almost $200,000, is that a surprise? $100,000 to EV charging, $750,000 for accounting software. Like, why are we doing a supplemental budget? It almost seems like we're trying to get around Prop 2.5 in some cute little way, as opposed to it wasn't voted on and it should wait until next year. Especially when it comes to EV, I don't know why we're continuing to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on EV charging when such a small percentage of the population are using EV. Why am I funding that?
Why aren't we putting gas station, you know, gas pumps at town hall? That's all I have.
Sure, thank you. So there's a few different items there. I'll address each in reverse order. So EV charging stations, excuse me, those are, as the town is beginning to electrify its light fleet, they're not primarily intended for public use. Public use would be paid for. So there would be a card reader. So you and anyone here, you're not subsidizing folks to charge their private vehicles. This is also matching funds locally for grants from Green Communities, which is a state grant program for energy efficiency, and for from utility companies, because this is the direction that those folks see this moving. And we've begun, you know, with lighter duty vehicles, inspectional vehicles, things that are not heavy duty, going towards hybrid and plan to move towards EV. As far as the cruisers, this is very standard for us to have a fall capital article, and there's a few financial reasons. This doesn't in any way circumvent Prop 2.5. None of this is outside of the statutory tax levy. So none of this changes, you know, the tax rate. Cruisers always get purchased in the fall because we typically fund them with cash, free cash specifically. Free cash is unspent appropriated funds from a prior fiscal year or revenues that exceeded our estimates from the close of a prior fiscal year. And because our annual town meeting is in May, we don't yet know what the free cash for that fiscal year would be. So it's really just kind of an accounting and budget calendar function that we close the fiscal year June 30th. Over the summer and in the fall, we certify free cash. Free cash is ideally used for one-time expenses like capital. That's where you would want to see those funds going. So it's not that the cruisers are a surprise. It's that that's when we know very specifically what that free cash is, the same reason why Article 1, you moved a quarter of it into stabilization. As far as the accounting software, that's just a function of kind of bandwidth for project management. This was flagged, and actually I should have led with every one of these items was flagged in the five-year capital improvement plan, which we have to publicly publish. It's in the operating budget. It gets reviewed by the capital planning committee, and that's in accordance with bylaws adopted by town meeting. So none of this is in any way being framed by the town as some kind of surprise or unanticipated. It's very common for us. I think with perhaps the exception of the first year COVID hit, having a fall supplement that's in the area of about $1 million is very standard. So I hope that addresses those questions. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article number 4? Okay, seeing none, Article 4 requires a two-thirds majority vote in order to pass. All of those in favor of Article 4 passing, please raise those orange cards. And all of those opposed. And Article 4 passes by two-thirds majority. Article 5.
I move that the town vote in accordance with the recommendation of the Community Preservation Committee to appropriate the sum of $485,658 for the purpose of restoring the roof at the Ames Free Library located at 53 Main Street, and that to meet this appropriation, $27,948 be transferred from the Community Preservation Funds reserved for historic resources, and $457,710 be transferred from the Community Preservation Unreserved Fund balance.
Second.
By way of explanation, this article would provide $485,658 in funding to replace and restore the roof of the Ames Free Library. The roof system throughout the library, both the original 1883 H.H. Richardson design section and the circa 1931 children's wing, is failing and in need of comprehensive restoration. The main library roof was restored more than 50 years ago. This work will fund a historically appropriate restoration of the library roofs and perform other flashing, gutters, and roof-related masonry repairs as needed. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Budget recommends.
Community Preservation Committee.
CPC recommends.
Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 5? Sir, go ahead.
All right. Ryan Cook, 18 Brentwood Drive again. The Mass Board of Library Commissioners has a $24 million bond available annually. Did we apply for funds for that? I mean, we have plenty of money in the Community Preservation Act, about $6.4 million sitting in there. And obviously, we're restricted on what we can use it for, but we should be using, if there are state funds elsewhere, we should be applying for them. Did we apply for any part of that $24 million from the Mass Board of Library Commissioners to address these repairs?
I'm going to ask Tom Broussard, the CPC chair, to come up and speak on that.
Hi, Ian Dunbar, Executive Director of the Ames Free Library. Thank you for your question. The Mass Board of Library Commissioners Constructions Grant is unfortunately specific to new builds and complete rebuilds of institutions, so it is not applicable to this project. There are other state grants that we will be applying for. The Secretary of State has a grant for historical buildings. It does not open up until May of the following year. Once that comes, we will apply to put towards this project. Thank you.
Michael Goodman, 159 Bay Road. My question also is for the library director. I formerly sat on this board. I am in favor of the repair, but I'd like to see a more comprehensive plan for the repair. And by that, I mean, maybe we could put it off a year so that we can make, again, a more comprehensive plan. And by that, by way of explanation, I sat on the committee about probably 6 or 7 years ago, and each of the years leading up to my time on there, there's been various repairs to various parts of the library. The second story, we did some repointing, we did some gutter repair, some minor roof repair, and one of the biggest expenses of those repairs is setting up the specialized staging to do the specialized repair that's required for the slate and the copper. And it just seems redundant to keep spending the same labor expense over and over and over to do the repairs. Why can't we do all the work at once and be done with it and reduce those labor costs greatly?
Appreciate that, Michael. And if it's okay, Ian, I'm happy to at least feel the beginning of this, and where I fall short, please feel free to jump in. So I think the question is certainly very valid, and actually it's one that the CPC asks. Whenever we have a project where we think there may be follow-on components, we often ask the applicant to think broader in case that it makes sense for us to make a larger investment now, that over the lifetime of potential projects, it yields savings. And we actually did that with the applicant in this case. We asked them to go back to their board, which they did for a series of meetings, and our CPC also held meetings to understand if there were other projects, which there are and are noted in the application, could also be included now, or if we could wait. And candidly, regrettably, due to timing, waiting was not feasible. The damage that was being done and the work environment that was created, there are several images that are available on public documents, and I'm sure we can share them through the library website as well, of ceilings with leaks and plaster falling in. The challenge on the other component, and I give credit to the applicant, while we are asking for a CPC disbursement of these amounts of funds, there's an equal amount of capital contribution being made by the library themselves as well. So as an applicant, they've stepped up to save the asset and preserve the asset. Right now, the cost perspective of putting it all together or waiting didn't make sense, and that's why we are working with the applicant for follow-on applications. This is more of an emergency request that regrettably the situation has deteriorated to the point where waiting would have caused too much cost going forward and perhaps irreparable damage to the asset.
Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 5? Okay, seeing none, Article 5 requires a simple majority vote. In order to pass, all of those in favor of Article 5 passing, please raise those orange cards. And all of those opposed, please raise your orange card. And Article 5 passes by a majority. Article 6.
I move that the town vote in accordance with the recommendation of the Community Preservation Committee to acquire by gift, purchase, or eminent domain a certain 5.65-acre parcel of property located at 57R Randall Street and listed on Assessor's Map 25U as Lot 58 for conservation and passive recreational purposes, and further, to appropriate the sum of $37,000 from community preservation funds reserved for open space for such acquisition, along with any and all costs incidental thereto, and furthermore, to authorize the town to convey any and all conservation restrictions as may be required for such purposes.
Second.
By way of explanation, the long-standing and heavily used primary trail access from the Easton School complex to the Clifford G. Grant Reservation crosses this 5.65-acre landlocked, privately owned parcel. This article would authorize the Select Board to purchase the entire parcel for $37,000 as an addition to the Clifford G. Grant Reservation for open space, conservation, and recreational uses. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends.
Community Preservation Committee.
CPC recommends.
Conservation Commission. Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 6?
Ryan Cook, 18 Brentwood Drive. So a couple quick questions about this. One, who's the owner? I looked in the records. I can't find who the private owner is. So who's where's this money going to? This fairly vague from the Town's Community Preservation Fund or any other source. Can we be more specific in our language? And what is the demand causing us to expend these funds? For what purpose?
So I do not know, candidly, the exact name of the recipients. I believe there are three collectively. I think the CPC funding or any other source is language. The intent and clearly what we're voting on is utilization of CPC funds. This is a trail that was, I think, as we all know, if we've been by the area, 20 or 30 years ago, natural behavior created this trail into a natural resource asset that we have. And I think this is trying to do right by learning that it is on private land, it is landlocked, and trying to ensure that we have the access we currently have for the time to come. I don't know if anybody does have the exact name of the three entities. I apologize, I just don't happen to have that handy.
I believe the planning director does. As far as the names, excuse me, Mr. Broussard's correct, it's owned by more than one party. As far as the purpose, as you may know, if you use these trails right now, it's closed to public access because a small portion of that trail that's been there for many, many years is on that landlocked piece of private property. So if this advances, it will enable the town to purchase it, own it. It's already surrounded by conservation land, as you could see up here on screen. And then that obviously reopens the trail, but it's also good from a kind of liability management perspective for the town, but also for the private owners that, while I can't speak for them, anyone here who owns property, you would probably not want a trail accidentally on your property in case someone slips and falls. So it cleans that up. I think the planning director has the ownership information.
I don't have the exact ownership information. The property is owned by members of two families. They are the sons and daughter of two couples that work together developing property in town. And they are the Polanos and the Delaneys. And the members of the family are in support of this article.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns about Article Number 6? Okay, seeing none, Article Number 6 requires a two-third majority vote to pass. All those in favor of Article Number 6, please raise your orange cards. And all of those opposed, please raise your orange card. And Article 6 passes by two-thirds majority. Article 7.
Good evening. I move that the town vote to appropriate by transfer from free cash the sum of $50,000 to be placed into the Injured on Duty Indemnity Fund.
Second.
By way of explanation, the Injured on Duty Indemnity Fund was established at the November 8th, 2021 special town meeting with an initial appropriation of $100,000. The balance is currently $50,000 and needs to be replenished. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends.
Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article Number 7? No? Okay. Seeing none, Article 7 requires a simple majority vote in order to pass. All those in favor of Article 7 passing, and all those opposed. And Article 7 passes by a majority. Article 8.
I move that the town vote to accept as a public way Barron Drive from Station 0+00 to Station 22+49 and Cooper Lane from Station 0+00 to 3+16, and to further accept a deed or deeds in easement or fee for said Barron Drive and Cooper Lane and associated drainage easements, all as shown on a plan entitled Definitive Subdivision Modification, Barron Estates, Easton, Massachusetts, dated October 28, 2018, and revised through January 14, 2019.
Second.
By way of explanation, Barron Drive and Cooper Lane are rights of way that provide access to 26 residential lots in the Barron Estates Residential Subdivision, approved by the Planning and Zoning Board in 2019. Barron Drive and Cooper Lane were inspected recently by the Planning Department and the Department of Public Works and found to be in good repair and in accordance with the as-built plan. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee?
Pleasure.
Planning and Zoning Board recommendation. Okay. In the warrant, it says the Planning and Zoning Board met on October 2nd, 2023 and voted 5-0 to recommend Article number 8. Any questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 8? Seeing none, Article 8 requires a simple majority vote. In order to pass, all those in favor of Article 8, please raise those cards. And all those opposed, please raise your cards. And Article 8 passes by majority. Article 9.
I move the town vote to amend subsection 235-47, floodplain overlay district of the zoning bylaw of the town of Easton by replacing the existing language for subsection 235-47, floodplain overlay district with the language for subsection 235-47, floodplain overlay district as printed in the supplement titled Zoning Amendment, subsection 235.
Second.
By way of explanation, this amendment brings the town's floodplain overlay district into compliance with current FEMA requirements for local floodplain management. The amendment does not change or expand the floodplain overlay district, which correlates to the FEMA flood insurance rate map, or FIRM, nor does it affect pre-existing lawfully permitted structures located in a floodplain. The intent of the requirement, or the requirements, is to limit development within high-risk flood areas in order to reduce the likelihood of bodily injury and property damage from floodwaters. Compliance with these requirements is necessary for the town to remain eligible to participate in the National Flood Insurance Program. The National Flood Insurance Program allows property owners with structures located in a special flood hazard area to purchase flood insurance at a discounted rate. Select Board recommends.
Finance Committee.
Finance Committee recommends.
And again, Planning and Zoning Board recommendation is as follows. The Planning and Zoning Board met on October 16th, 2023 and voted 4-0 to recommend Article number 9. Questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 9? Mr. Cook.
Ryan Cook, 18 Brentwood Drive. It's more a clarification question. As chair of the Zoning Board of Appeals, I obviously have a very special interest in changes to the zoning law bylaws. And this was, I'm assuming a lot of this was language that was directed to us that it just needed to be wholesale replaced. But what was hard for me was to go through, there wasn't something side by side so I could understand what was changing. It was just like I bring up the zoning by current zoning bylaws and I'm trying to look at them side by side on two different screens. It was kind of challenging to see what those changes were. I would hope that in the future, if we're having changes to whether it be the zoning bylaws or a town charter, that the citizens of town could have a side by side so we could easily see what the changes being proposed are. Thank you.
So, Stephanie, do you want to speak to, I just want to make sure we're, if you feel like there's a, we can talk a little bit to.
I don't really have much to add to Mr. Cook's comment. Generally, that is what we do. The changes, there, as outlined in the supplement, there were quite a number of them. And even to try to put them side by side, I think still would have been a little much. But what I can tell you is that the changes really were to make this consistent with the FEMA template that towns use to comply in order to be able to take advantage of the flood hazard insurance program. It doesn't increase the amount of review that the town performs. We do that already through several other different mechanisms, which are regulated through the state, like the Wetlands Protection Act, and through our stormwater management review and site plan review. So, but duly noted.
No, I appreciate all that. It's just more like if in the future changes like this, that we really should be able to see them as citizens side by side so we know what they're changing. And it was a lot of change. And after a while, I was like, this is like a wholesale change of this entire section of the zoning bylaw. There was very little left over, but I should still be able to see, like, all right, this paragraph is completely eliminated. I shouldn't have to go in manually and, you know, print out copies and try. It was really hard. And we should really strive to make it easier for the citizens of town when we're asking for a change. Even something like, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with this, and I'm probably sure it was wholesale language that was provided to us to be in compliance, which is all fine, but we should still be able to see what those changes are clearly. Thank you.
A much more detailed explanation would have happened, and we would have been here for 3 hours if Greg Strange had joined us tonight. So that would have been the detail I think you were looking for. So it's the first time I've ever said I wish Greg was here tonight. thank you, Stephanie, but thanks for the feedback, too. We appreciate it.
Any other questions, comments, or concerns relative to Article 9? Okay, seeing none, Article 9 requires a two-thirds majority vote. All those in favor, please raise your orange cards. And all those opposed, please raise your orange cards. And Article 9 passes with a two-thirds majority. That's all the business that we have, so I need a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning the meeting? And that's it. You're free. Thank you all for coming. We really appreciate it.
Yes, you're free.